Father, I just truly do thank you that you are all sovereign, all knowing, and all seeing, and that you have this service in the palm of your hands. You knew exactly who was going to be here and who wasn't. You knew it, and you know exactly what they need to hear. I thank you for putting this service together, Father. I thank you for these special people that you unctioned in their heart to come out and sit in your presence. And since they came, Father God, to be fed fresh manna from heaven, spread the table before them tonight, Father, and let them receive all that you want them to receive. And Father, we thank you for the Godhead. We thank you for your angelic host. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been having quite a few breakthroughs each and every night that we're here. God has been doing some great, wonderful things. People are being set free in all different ways. We look at just one way, but God sets people free in all different ways. Tonight, God's, he told me to title it, The Father's Glory. And tonight, we're going to talk about the thunder and the lightning. Years ago, when God was speaking to me one time, he said, "Daughter, I want you to be listening for the thunder and the lightning and the earthquake." And he emphasized the. So we know that that's in the word. There is going to be the earthquake. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the thunder and the lightning, not the earthquake, all right? California's having enough problems without having an earthquake out there. That's terrible. Can you just believe? And you know, it's right around the holidays. And then it didn't happen a couple years ago, right around the holidays. A lot of destruction. And, you know, you really have nothing to complain about. Just read about what's going on in California. These people have lost everything, practically overnight. And now they have to start rebuilding, right? In the wintertime. Revelation chapter 4, verse 2 through 5 says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, speaking to me like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.'" This is John speaking. "At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne room came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder." Now, thunder represents new revelation. New revelation that could save God's people, his own church, from the great tribulation and eternal death. Lightning is a light from God's throne. That's a light that God emanates. God's very elect see the lightning and hear the thunder. And so this is why God told me, he said, "Daughter, be watching for the thunder and the lightning. I'm going to reveal something to you when you see that." Revelation does not come from man. It comes from God's throne. During this service, God's given us a lot of revelation, has he not, that I've never thought of before. The book of Malachi is a thunder of eternal judgment. So many people are going to lose their eternal lives if you read the book of Malachi. It's all about judgment. The biggest danger we face is being ho-hum about this thunder and lightning because we have received so much of this. And I'm talking about this church here. God has given us an awful lot of revelation. And we need to quit being ho-hum about it and understand that God is revealing things to us that have not yet been revealed. What did God tell John in Revelation chapter 1? Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. "On the Lord's day," this is John speaking, "I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, 'Write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergam, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea.'" Then Revelation 1:17-20, John said, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Every church has its own angel. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches that we just talked about up here in Revelation 1:10-11. Now, I searched and searched about the thunder and lightning. Couldn't find anything. And finally I said, God, I can't find everything. Everybody seems to be muddled about it. So he prophesied this service tonight. All right. So everything you see in green is God speaking. God said, God's telling you, you have entered into the times of my thunderings and lightnings. You have entered into a dispensation of time where I shall surely thunder from my holy mountain, which is Mount Zion. You will hear me say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. God says, my children, from this night forth, listen to what he's telling you guys, from this night forth you must at all costs follow my voice very carefully. For I will be giving you revelation from my heavenly throne room. This is the end time dispensation of time, and a brand new era has come up before you. And because of this brand new era, I will be giving you brand new revelation of what is to come and how to proceed in it. God said, many will fall away at this given time, and the apostasy has already begun. But as you listen to my new revelations, you will become more sure-footed, and you will not be among those who have fallen and will fall. This new era carries with it much condemnation for those who sit in my houses and refuse to walk in the truth. There will be those who have been hearing the lie but refuse to admit it has been a lie. Do not be one of those. The fallacy that once saved, always saved, is so wrong on many fronts. My word tells you to walk out your own salvation. And then Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. You need to really listen to everything that God is saying here tonight, because this is God speaking. God's getting ready to do some great mighty things in his churches. And he wants each one of you to be partaker of what he's getting ready to do. God said, just as the Israelite children heard my voice thundering on Mount Sinai, as I gave Moses my Ten Commandments, you shall also be partaker of these thunderings and lightnings. In other words, God's going to call you up into the heavenlies. In Exodus 19:4-6, Israel was receiving some revelation. Not all of it was new, but some was. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. This is Exodus 19:4-6. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So it tells us right here that Israel was to be a kingdom of priests spiritually. And Exodus 19:16 says, on the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. God wants us to tremble before his word. Spiritual thunder and lightning should have the same impact on us. And I heard, whenever God was prophesying somebody the other night, he said, I'm going to speak very loudly to you. So that means he's going to thunder to you. God was giving Israel the Ten Commandments. What was he trying to achieve with the accompanying thunder and lightning? He was trying to get those people to realize that this was not from a man, but from the great creator of mankind. He was trying to get those people to realize that this was not from a man, but from the great creator of mankind. Spiritually, new revelation today should have a much greater impact on our lives than physical thunder and lightning. Now remember, God's told us at the beginning of this miracle service that He was taking us into the greater works. And each service He's been revealing different things to us that we haven't really thought about before. It's been in the Word, but we've never thought about it before, because we're going to need to understand these things in order to go into the greater works. Spiritually, new revelation today should have a much greater impact on our lives than physical thunder and lightning. Why? Because it has eternal consequences. It has eternal consequences. God said, you will be held accountable for every word I speak to you from this night forward. For I am surely going to be sending forth my word with great power and might. You will hear my voice booming in your ears, and you will hear my instructions very clearly. You will not be able to stand before me and say, I did not hear you, Lord, for I am speaking very clearly and loudly. Now remember, a couple months ago he said, I'm whispering in a still small voice. And now he's saying, I'm booming. Are you understanding this? Come on. God said, because I have been quiet for a season, all think I am not seeing. I am an all-seeing and all-knowing Father. I see all things and I know all things. I see the disarray in my houses. I see the sin in the pulpits. I see the mixture of my word. I know the true hearts of the fathers and mothers. I see and know all things. Then he said, I see you hiding under the rock of offense. I see you peeking through the cloud, wondering if I am watching. See, I know you inside out because I wonderfully made you. There is no place you can go to hide from me. Absolutely no place. Remember when I was fasting and I grabbed that little cashew nut and ran up steps and said, who are you hiding from? He said, I see you. So you can't hide from God. In Jeremiah 23:24 says, who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord. And then he said, Jeremiah 25:35, I'd write this down so these shepherds can see it. The shepherds will have nowhere to flee, the leaders of the flock, no place to escape. God said, when you stand before me on judgment day, there would be no excuses. In fact, you will stand speechless before your Maker. You understand then who I truly am. Will it be too late? Only you know that answer. I am so tired of my ministers ministering falsehoods to my people. I am disgusted at my houses because the ministers will not come unto me and listen to my voice and yield to my voice. My sheep are being scattered because the ministers are not doing what they are supposed to be doing. I have called for holiness and righteousness, and I demand holiness and righteousness, and I demand that my word be spoken and not divided. Come hither, you who call yourselves shepherds, and know that I am speaking to you very clearly. I will remove your lampstand. I promise you this. If you do not turn from your sinful ways and do the things you know that I have called you forth to do in righteousness and purity and holiness, I am that I am. And I am bringing my children forth this night in total purity. And you must at all cost change. You must change the way you live, the way you divide my word, the way you lead my sheep. You must. It is imperative that you change your heart towards me. And God goes on to say, this night I am thundering once again from my holy mountain. And I am saying, come up hither as I did to Moses. And I will share my secrets with you just as I did with Moses. Moses was curious and he found me. Are you just as curious as Moses? Then you will find me. You will find me in every facet of life. You will look around and you will see me in the homeless, the exploited, the downtrodden, the economy, in the government. You will see me as I truly am, all sufficient. Don't be like the Israelite children. In Exodus 20:18-20 says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you, to keep you from sinning." You know, this is what we need. We need the holy fear of God, and the body of Christ does not have a holy fear of God. They walk in the flesh continually, and they just think God's going to just nod his head and say it's okay, and he's not going to do that. Joel 3:16 says, "The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel." The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, those who are following him, a stronghold for the people of Israel. God says, my children, how I wish you had more discernment. How I wish you were so on fire for me that you say, Father, take me to the mountaintop as you did Moses, and give me end time revelations to share with my brothers and sisters. How I wish you were burning deep inside with revelation knowledge you received from me and not man, and you could not wait to run with it. Let's read that again. My children, how I wish you had more discernment. How I wish you were so on fire for me that you say, Father, take me to the mountaintop as you did Moses, and give me end time revelation to share with my brothers and sisters. How I wish you were burning deep inside with revelation knowledge you received from me and not man, and you could not wait to run with it. Habakkuk 2:2-3 says, "And then God answered, write this, write what you see, write it out in big block letters so they can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time." Verse 3 again, "This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming." And this is what God's going to be using us to do, is to tell the world what is coming. You know, God told me that President Trump would not be impeached. And all you see is about impeachment. So I really sat down and prayed really hard. I said, "Father God, I'm not doubting what you told me." And I said, "I know that you said he wouldn't be impeached, and I believe that. But you also said to cover our president, so I'm covering him right now with the blood of Jesus. Keep him safe. Keep his mind safe while he has to endure all this mess of people putting him through." You know, this is the kind of thing that God wants to reveal to each and every one of us in here tonight, things that are going to be coming. So why? So we can pray for them, so we can warn people of what is coming. It doesn't matter what you like or dislike, it's what God is doing. And we have to agree with God, not with man. "Just as my servant Habakkuk cried out to me, and I heard, I've also heard your cries, and I have come with my might and my power to destroy the works of sin. And I'm going to use you to be the messenger to destroy that sin nature in my peoples." Have you been crying out to God, "God, you have to do something, because the sin nature is terrible in the house of God"? I've been praying that for years now. The word is not doing it, Father. You've got to do something else. And God is going to do something else. So he said, "Just as my servant Habakkuk cried out to me, and I heard, I have also heard your cries, and I have come with my might and my power to destroy the works of sin. And I'm going to use you, each one of you in here, to be the messengers to destroy that sin nature in my peoples." Habakkuk 1, 2, and 3. "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you? Violence, but you do not save. Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds." How many of you have been crying that out to God? It's a fervent prayer I have to God. When, God, when are you going to move? When are you going to stop all this sin? And God said, do not look at their faces, but keep your eyes on the prize and march on with the deep revelation I am sending your way. So we can't look at what's going on anymore. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus and receive that deep revelation He's going to be given to us. And Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 and 17 says, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Get yourself ready, stand up and say to them, whatever I command you, do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. This is so important. Let's read that again. It's Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 and verse 17. When God sends you out with the deep revelation He's going to give you, do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Get yourself ready, stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. In other words, you have to speak the truth no matter what they say, think, or do. Then Job 37, verses 2 through 12. Listen carefully to the thunder of God's voice as it rolls from His mouth. It rolls across the heavens, and as lightning flashes in every direction. Then comes the roaring of the thunder, the tremendous voice of His majesty. He does not restrain it when He speaks. God's voice is glorious in the thunder. We can't even imagine the greatness of His power. He directs the snow to fall on the earth and tells the rain to pour down. Then everyone stops working so they can watch His power. The wild animals take cover and stay inside their dens. The stormy wind comes from its chamber, and the driving winds bring the cold. God's breath sends the ice freezing with wide expanses of water. He loads the clouds with moisture, and they flash with His lightning. The clouds churn about at His direction. They do whatever He commands throughout the earth. All creation listens to God's voice, except the church. The church thinks they don't have to. The church dismisses voice, and that's why the church is in trouble. God said, I'm getting ready to make a spectacle of myself, and I want to incorporate you into this spectacle. Are you committed to coming to the mountaintop and receiving my new revelations for this dispensation of time? And think about it, He just invited you into something. He wants you to be a spectacle. He wants you to be peculiar. He wants you to stand out. In the midst of sin, you're going to be holy and righteous, and you're going to be speaking holiness and righteousness, and you're going to be screaming repent at the top of your voice. God said, think about what happened in the past. Moses led Israel, then Joshua followed him. Two great leaders, but within one generation after Joshua died, Israel had lost the Feast of Tabernacles. The same is true today. The great revivalists have come on home, and there are not many to carry on my message of holiness and righteousness. In Matthew 17:10 through 11 says, the disciples asked Him, why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first? And Jesus replied, to be sure Elijah comes and will restore all things. In Matthew 11:20 through 24, it's about Jesus and John the Baptist. After Jesus had finished instructing His 12 disciples, He went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, John the Baptist was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? See, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was, but in prison he started to doubt. So when we're in the valleys, don't doubt. When the storms of life are hitting you from every side, don't doubt. If whatever God has spoken to you is surely going to come to pass. Don't let these other experiences take you off course. In verse 4, Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. Jesus said, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who has to come, who was to come. Whoever has ears, let him hear." That's a big mouthful about John the Baptist. When God called me to start the church, God told me we were the remnant and that we were the second John the Baptist, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus, and he gave me the above scripture. Therefore, an abundance of revelation has been given to the lighthouse. God has given us an abundance of revelation that we are going to be held accountable for. And when the reason why God gave me that scripture that we just read was because, you know, God called me to start a ministry and the churches around here rejected me, and that sort of hurt my feelings because I didn't know what I was doing wrong, and I wasn't doing anything wrong. And so then I said, "God, who am I really?" And then he gave me that, and he said, "You are surely the second John the Baptist." And I've always told you people that we are the second John the Baptist, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus Christ. All right. And then he says in there, John the Baptist was a prophet. And God told me, "I called you to be a prophet to the nations, and you will remain a prophet." And even though, and the enemy has come to try to tear me down for 40 some years, he couldn't do it because God wouldn't allow it. Are you listening? If God has truly called you, Satan can't touch you. He can torment you a little bit, but he cannot destroy you. All right. So don't walk in fear. If you know that you know that you know that God has called you to do something, it doesn't matter how many devils come against you, it doesn't matter how much witchcraft or voodoo or whatever's going on comes at you, God is in control and God is keeping you covered. And God told me one time, he said, "The devil's coming after you with everything he has. He'll turn your every which way but loose. But when it's all done, you'll be standing on your feet looking at me and praising me." And he said, "He can't kill you." And he said, "He's going to really make you miserable for a while." And he did. He really tormented me and did all kind of manner of evil, but I kept telling him, "You can't kill me. You just can't kill me. I know that." And finally he left me alone. Are you listening here? I'm not where I'm at today just because I rode on some little silver cloud somewhere. I paid price after price after price for the anointing that God has laid upon my shoulders. You're going to have to pay a price, and you're going to have to, it doesn't matter how many people reject you, you're going to have to do what God's calling you forth to do. It's just that plain and that simple. It doesn't matter if the other churches reject you. You have to do what God's telling you to do. All right, I said, therefore, an abundance of revelation has been given to the lighthouse. Spiritual thunder accompanies revelation, and it really represents new revelation. In Revelation 6:1 said, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.'" Are you ready for God to use you to reveal things to you that nobody else has heard about? How many of you just recently are starting, well, last year, you're reading a word and all of a sudden something jumps out at you. You've read that word over and over and over and over again, but all of a sudden you see the truth of that word. See, this is new revelation that God has given to the people. If you listen to Perry Stone tapes, he's always bringing forth new revelation. You know? God wants, you know, some of the stuff that we've heard is stale. In the name of Jesus. It's stale. And he wants new revelation to revive us and enlighten, you know, and get us back up and be excited about him once again. God is appealing to his people, saying, if there is revelation, where is it coming from? not from a man. True revelation comes from God and no place else. That is why he tells us to look at the spiritual thunders and lightning. This is something beyond the realm of man. How many times has God said to us, come up hither? This church right here, how many times when we're in service, he says, come up hither, come up hither, come up hither, come up into the third heaven. How many times has God said to us, come up hither? God is saying, come and see the excitement in the heavens. And he's told us that. He's told us, I want you to see what's going on in the heavenlies. Some said that some went and some didn't. Some are still waiting to see. And you could have already seen. God has been preparing his king priest. There has never been a more exciting time in church history than the time we live in today. There really isn't. I'm excited inside out for what God is getting ready to do, the things he showed me. I mean, we are going to be one happy bunch of people real soon with what God is going to take us to do. I don't know about you, but I feel very honored to be the final group before Jesus returns this earth and begins to use us as king and king priests. I've always been honored that we are Second John the Baptist. I've always been honored that we are Remnant Church. I mean, I just feel like that's just a special honor that God has bestowed upon us. I remember years ago, a prophet came into town and to the church where I was going, and he said, if anybody wants a prophetic word, come between service and we'll speak with you. And so I went. I called the pastor and said, do you think I could come? So I went. And when I walked in the room, the prophet was sitting there, boy, just writing as fast as he could write. And he kept writing and writing and writing. And then the lady who was waiting on him said, prophet, there's somebody here to see you. And he turned around and he said, you're the woman. You're the woman that God's telling me about. And to really tell you the truth, he prophesied to me, and I don't remember one word he said. Then that night, after services, it was midnight, and that my pastor called me and said, Barbara, you've got to come to my house now. And you know this story, but I'm telling it again. So I went, and she sat in the chair, and she put a towel around my shoulders and poured a whole bottle of oil on my head. She said, God is anointing you this night to go forth to the nations and do the work he's called you forth to do as a prophet. She said, the prophet was here today, said that I had to do this for you, that I had to honor you. And she always honored me. I didn't understand. I really did not understand what happened that night. I really did not. I know today, but that night I did not. But she was the only one in Delaware that honored me, and her and her husband both have passed away, but... And by that, I mean she was. If she saw me, she was nice to me. You know, I don't know where I'm at. Most of God's people have gone to sleep spiritually, but we must not, church. You guys, you cannot go to sleep spiritually. God has revealed too much to the Lighthouse Church. And we have to take what he's revealing us to the nations. We have to be on our guard, on our posts constantly, listening to what God is telling and calling us to do. God is going to continue to give us revelation. He is giving us thunder and lightning like nobody has ever received in the history of man. Come on, if you really study all this out, it'll take you hours, but just keep studying it. You'll see all this in the book. Thunder is going to keep coming and coming from the thundering throne room of God until we are seated in heavenly places with God. Now, Revelation 3:7-13. Remember, we talked about the seven churches beginning. All right. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have a little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole earth to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I wrote that down because years ago when I first started, I heard a teaching on the churches. I was in my car going to work. And I said, God, what church are we? And he said, you are the Philadelphia church. And I asked him a couple years ago, I said, God, what church are we? He said, you're still the Philadelphia church. He said, read it again. He said, you're hanging on. Even though there's no reason to hang on, you're still hanging on. And you know, one day God's going to vindicate this church. And people are going to really, in this area, are really going to see that we were really truly called of God and that we were doing God's work and God was with us all that time. And you know, whenever he says, one time I wanted to quit, I really did, I just wanted to close the doors. Everybody had left and we only had about four of us in here. And I said, God, why do you have me still doing this? I said, I'm just going to close the doors. He said, I've opened a door that no man can shut. Don't you try to shut these doors. You keep on going. You hold on. So I just keep right on going. I keep holding on. And God always comes through and he always blesses us. One day I was standing right there ministering. And God said, let no man steal your crown, daughter, because they're trying to steal your crown. And that's what it says right in here. Let no one take your crown. See that? I'm telling you guys, walking with God is real. Walking with God is fun. Walking with God is work. Keeping your salvation is work. The higher your calling, the more that the enemy attacks you. And he keeps attacking and attacking and attacking. And you have to have this tenacity inside of you. Says, devil, you're not taking me out. You didn't call me and you can't take me out. Nobody in this area called me, in Delaware called me, and nobody can take me out. Are you understanding this? One time when Rodney Howard Brown came through, he said to me, he said, Barbara, if you'll leave Delaware and come to Florida, I'll build you a church and it'll be a big church. You'll fill it up. I said, I can't do that. God wants me to stay in Delaware. He said, well, I'll pray for you every day. He said, because Delaware is totally closed to God, and they were at that time. But people would come and say, why do you stay here with these people? You could go anywhere, any other state, and you would have a big church. I said, God has called me to this state, and he's always told me, do not despise small beginnings. So see, I do what God calls me to do. And you know, you might feel like, well, we're not doing anything, but whenever we have services, not just these type of services, but services, Sundays and Wednesdays, people come in, and we see them get blessed through the prophetic word when God speaks to them. We see them start being healed from all the brokenness inside. And that is so wonderful for us. You know, we truly do love the people. We truly do love the people. And we're just trusting God. And we're doing it. And God told me to emphasize love during this miracle service. And we have. And you saw what God did when the love messages, we gave three love messages. God moved mightily upon the people's hearts. And God freed people up. You know, you have to be somewhere where the Spirit of God is moving. You have to be somewhere where the pastor is walking in holiness and righteousness and doing the things that God has told us to do. And you know, God said over this pulpit, he said, if you're going to minister behind this pulpit, you better be living what you're ministering, or don't do it at all. And he even told us that in one of the messages that I gave. If you're going to call yourself a minister of the gospel, then start living that life. Live the life that Jesus lived. Live holy and pure. And stay in your faith. And there are going to be times you're going to weep. But that's all right. You just go ahead and get in a corner and weep and cry out to God. And he'll comfort you. And Barbara, God showed me today he's given you great revelation knowledge through these services. You're really receiving a lot from God because you're seeking like Moses did. You're curious and you want to know. You want all that God has for you. And he said you're receiving bucket loads. He's just downloading a whole lot of stuff into you. All right? So, you know, where's your heart? How much of God do you truly want? How much of God do you truly want? And, and God is a healing God. And he said he's going to bring healing back into the house. He said he took healing because the body of Christ trampled over the blood of Jesus. So he took it out of the house. But he says he's going to bring it back into the houses of God. And so, you know, and I'm hearing God say he's restoring all things back to the place where they should be. So whatever God, whatever Satan has stolen from you, God's getting ready to restore it. You have to have faith. You have to be strong. You have to be, you know, I tell you what I went through because, see, that's my testimony. And people write to me or send me emails, say, you don't know what your testimony did for me. So everything you go through and, you know, all the brokenness, I'm hearing God say, all the brokenness you've ever gone through all your life, it's for a purpose. God's going to use that brokenness to help heal somebody else. So don't be upset about all the trials. God told me right off the bat when I was born again, he said, daughter, you were born to suffer and you will suffer for me. Told me that right up front. And when I went to church all excited and told my pastor that, she said, if you ever say that again, I'm going to kick you out of the church. Because God's people never suffer. And I went home crying. I said, God, I know you told me that. Then I read the word in the word, you do, you know. And so, are you born to suffer? Were you one that was born to suffer? Do you have such a strong calling on your life that you will suffer for Christ more than you want to? Do you have such a strong calling that just about when you get out of one trial, you think, oh, thank God I can rest, and here comes another, back to, you know, piggybacking back to back to back. It's because of the calling on your life. So let's not be cursing the things that are going on in our life any longer. Let's thank God that he loves us that much. That he loves us that much. Amen. You know, one time somebody prophesied over me. I forgot where I was at. And they said, it's going to come a time in your ministry where you're going to have to sit down to minister to people, that the anointing is going to be so strong. And the other night, when I was praying for people, I just kept seeing this whirlwind. And I was being taken away, and I would make myself come back. And I said, wasn't that dumb? I should let God take me up in that whirlwind. But I thought, I have to minister to these people. So don't be dumb like I was. I missed something the other night. And I told you the whirlwind was here. That whirlwind of love was here. And God was doing something in us. But he revealed to me, I want to take you away. He did it to me 3 times in here when I was ministering to y'all. So just, I don't care what you're doing. God will take care of the rest. He would have taken care of everybody in this room. But I thought I had to stay here and minister, you know. You don't have to stay here and minister. Go with God and let God take you those. I've been crying out, God, take me up into the heavenly places. Took me to hell 3 times. I'd like to visit heaven one time. And not dead. I would like to just visit it. You know, and so he wouldn't do that the other night, and I stopped it. We can stop things, you know. So how many of you, I'm hearing God say, how many of you are stuck in the mud, and you would just like to get unstuck? You know, in other words, you're stuck in your circumstances, you're stuck in the place you're in, and God wants to call you to higher ground tonight. He wants to lead you into those places you've never been to before. And if that's you, and you're hungry, the altar's open for that tonight.